Welcome to Nashville and Beyond.
I'm Brian Copeland.
And I'm Zach Copeland.
And we're a father-son duo helping people buy, sell, and thrive in Middle Tennessee.
But this isn't just about business. It's also about our family and our community.
It's a front row seat to how we live, work, and serve right here in Music City.
So buckle up as we explore Nashville and Beyond. You know, it is that time of year when Christmas lights go up and
mine stay up.
I know. Hopefully everybody's got their Christmas lights up at this point, because by the time this episode comes out, it'll be, what, 2 weeks before Christmas or 3 weeks before Christmas? So if you're not on it yet, you're lacking, or you're like me and you're just not a fan of it.
Yeah.
So I've got to ask you, how early is too early to put up Christmas lights?
Well, see, I have Govee exterior lights that I made you put up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stay up all year long, but I color them like on Valentine's Day. I'll make them pink and red. For Halloween, they were green, purple, and orange.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, Christmas holiday lights stay up all year long on the house. When it comes to the actual, if you're going to decorate for Christmas and the lighting time, you know, you probably want me to say it's never too early. I do think it can be too early.
Okay.
I usually want them to come up, you know, early November. So
early November.
Anything in October is too early for my taste.
Weather, depending on that, of course, because we, last week, 2 weeks ago when we put the Christmas lights up, was it last week, wasn't it? Yeah. The weather was perfect for it. And then that weekend, we had our first hard freeze, and the temperatures were like in the low 20s all day and didn't get out of the high 20s. So, you know, whether you're the one stringing the lights or you're just the one plugging them in, today's episode is the one about holiday lights.
Yay!
So we're going to be talking all things Christmas decorating and indoor stuff, outdoor stuff. So let's start here, because we grew up around Christmas in different ways. And I think it shows a little bit still today in the way that we interact with Christmas and with each other during that time.
Yeah, Christmas at my house growing up, and again, next week is our official Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Today, we're just going to be talking about lights and decorations. But for me, you know, we love to decorate. You know, the Christmas tree would, you know, come up. We had those humongous bulb lights that, you know, you can't see anywhere else, but now they just break and fall apart. They were just these humongous bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
And decorating was a huge deal. So it was a joyful time for us. We loved that family time together. It was an event for all of us to get together and do it. Mom didn't decorate on her own. Dad didn't do it by himself. We all, four of us, me, my brother, mom, and dad, we all decorated. So it was very important for our family to do that. So it's kind of translated through the years with our family that we all decorate together.
Mm-hmm.
When we decorated this year, I started really early because I knew it was going to take a little bit longer, just because with the busyness of life. So probably early November, the decorations still sat in boxes and the lights sat in boxes, and it was when we had time to put them out. And of course, everything that was done by Thanksgiving, because for me, that's when it has to be done.
Yeah.
So I know your experience with decorating was a little bit different growing up.
Yeah, you know, we had we lived out in the country, in the town that I grew up in was a town of 300 people called Grapevine, Arkansas. And we lived down, you know, a miles long dirt road and lived on a big forest and pine farm. So, you know, we had 14 different Christmas trees and each of them was themed differently. I'm talking hundreds of ornaments on each tree. And they were all different themed. So there was a peppermint tree, a Santa tree, a Jesus tree, a gingerbread tree, a razorback tree, an LSU tree, a bear tree, a music tree. I could go on and on. And that kind of made Christmas decorating for me a more of a chore than anything else. While I still enjoy looking at it, it's just all the putting up of it is not, you know, it doesn't feel as magical to me anymore putting all of it up. So,
well, and for me though, it's different. It's wild how both of us had such a different upcoming upbringings with, you know, lighting and everything and decorations. You know, but it still feels very special, but just in different ways for us both. So let's talk a little bit what decorating looks like for both of us these days, specifically in the farm.
Yeah.
You know, because when we put the farm together, you kind of rolled your eyes and you're like, because it was on the calendar, I came over and did it. This year, because every year is a little bit different. This year, I didn't put out my Christmas villages because I love Christmas village. I love having, I've got a Mickey Mouse one. I've got the classic Dickens one. I've got like the new Town Square Christmas Village. I didn't put them out this year just because I was feeling really cluttery.
Yeah,
there's something about Christmas decorations that can feel cluttery, and I didn't want to have that clutter this year. It kind of goes back and forth for me. I've got this humongous Mickey, Minnie, and Donald. I was thinking Pluto, but it's actually Donald. They're the huge animatronics. And, you know, they sat on the front porch in a box forever just because of the clutter piece. So I've done that. But, you know, inside we have Micah has his tree. A guy named Eric Sane, who is very involved at the National Association of Realtors, hopefully will be a president of the National Association of Realtors one day. Eric, if you're listening, please run. Please win. He would always send a Christopher Radko ornament to Micah. And then when Esther was born, he was just in one. It was always a farm theme. So that's what started our farm tree. And while Micah, we'd think he'd have a drumming tree or a Stranger Things tree or a horror movie. Probably if I offered him a horror movie tree
he would do it. Yeah.
But the farm tree has turned into a tradition at our house. About 2 years ago, I started putting it up and started getting those ornaments out. And Micah threw a fit. He's like, no, this is our tradition. We do it together. Because what we do is the three of us get together, me, Micah, and Esther. And I have them wrapped in these, they're Micah's former cloth diapers that they're wrapped in. So they stay nice and safe. If you know Radko ornaments, they're super fragile. And so he has to guess, or they both have to guess what that one is that they open. We have a chicken, a rooster, a cow, farming Santa, gardener Santa, all these. We even have drag queen donkey. Drag queen donkey is one of our favorite ones. And so they have to guess what it is. And then if they get it, there's no prize or anything. It's just a thing we go through. And so literally this year, Micah's tree was decorated without those ornaments because we couldn't get time for him to do it. So we finally got to do it on the weekend where he could do his little guessing game. So Micah's got the farm tree. Esther's got a candy tree. Mm-hmm. And while I wanted to update it, because again, I did this for her when she was probably three, she just likes it. And it's pink and blue and got all this candy all over it. And then we went to Dillard's to look for podcast art clothing the other day. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the trees in there and walking around there. And you were asking me, you know, what tree speaks to you most? And I was telling you about, like, for me, tree decorating used to be about the interior design of it. I wanted it to look lush and full of things. But then as the little ones started getting more into Christmas, it turned, you know, like, oh, we got this ornament in Sun Valley, Idaho when we were on that trip there. And, oh, one of my, I had a hard time getting rid of Micah's clothing because I was so attached to it. So I put them in little Christmas ornaments with a picture of him on them. And so now that's memory pieces. So now our family Christmas tree has gone from interior design beauty to tacky mishmash of everything. And it's a mess of everything. It's got ornaments from Mount Rushmore on it. Like everything that you would think would be in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's just a big piece of trash on a tree and I love it now. And it's not about, and you did me a very special gift this year when you lit the tree.
Okay.
Because you spent how much time on that tree this year?
It was quite a bit of time.
And why?
Because it wasn't done correctly, and I'm a perfectionist, and I wanted
it. What wasn't done perfectly? I bought these really expensive permanent Christmas lights.
He did, and the way that these Christmas lights came in the package is that there's one plug, and then at, you know, about 5 or 6 feet off of that plug, it separates off into two strands, and these strands are like 50 feet long each. And they were, I would say, let me put this gently. They were not placed with the most care.
I did it
on the tree.
I did it because I always have to decorate by myself.
Yeah.
And I paid an arm and a leg for these, and I didn't ever want to light a tree again.
Uh-huh.
And so my goal was to always do them perfectly and then zip tie them on. Well, when I bought the tree we have right now that it's on, I couldn't find an unlit tree. I didn't want pre-lit at all because pre-lit's trash. Mm-hmm. It's going to go out in a year. So I don't know why manufacturers continue to make them. So I wanted to cut all those off. But last year when I was decorating, I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to throw these lights on here. And mm-hmm. so you gave me the biggest gift.
I did. I restrung all the lights up there. And then I went through and probably about, I don't know, 150 zip ties mm-hmm. I put up on the tree. And I did the best that I could. And you know, it was funny the whole time I was doing it. I was like, if some of these fall down, I'm sorry, but there are so many lights and I had gone through so many zip ties and I just wanted to make sure that you knew that I was taking great care and attention into doing that. You know, for me, Christmas decorating, if I were to ever at some point, and I think one day I will want to decorate for Christmas. I'm just not there yet. But I am such a perfectionist that when I do it, it's going to be incredible because I'm going to have this beautiful full tree and it's going to be full of these magical things. But, you know, for now, it's more about me supporting the tradition of the family than me being personally excited to decorate. Especially when, you know, in years past, it's been cold when we do some of the outdoor decorating and I just don't like the cold because it's easier for me to be hot than it is for me to be cold. Tangled cords, you know, all these little small moments of frustration can build up quicker in me than they can in some people and make me a little more easily agitated. But I know that it's all worth it when the lights are finally on, when everything's done and finished and it looks beautiful. And I do appreciate the beauty of it. I would just rather not be involved in the doing of it. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm part of a family now.
You did the fence this year.
I did.
Yeah, so we have this, and we had our family photos taken there this year for Christmas. Zach designed a Ralph Lauren family photo shoot. And he wanted it in front of the garland on the fences. So he strung the garland this year on our fences. It looks the best it's ever looked because, again, I'm usually doing it by myself. So, you know, I don't get to take the meticulous care that Zach took with it. So our fences look great. There's a photographer who always shoots Santa at our house every year. And so it's been now, gosh, how many years?
A long time. Yeah.
Yeah. About 5 years. She uses our greenhouse, brings in Santa. Lots of kids come to the farm. So Zach had the joy of stringing that garland this year that's literally in hundreds of Santa photos this year.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
You're finding that you're touching the lives of so many people.
And there'll be even better decorations next year because we went to Crate and Barrel the other day had these gorgeous decorations in there. And Pop went over to the lady at the register and he's like, are these for sale? And turns out that they are. We're not going to tell you how much they are or where you can find them because they're ours and not yours.
We're not going to release this episode until
we get them.
But, you know, when I finish decorating everything and I can sit back and reflect on everything, one of my favorite things as a kid was getting under the tree and looking into the lights. And now I'm transported back to my childhood when I go into our home and we have, you know, all these trees up and the stockings are hung and it's time for me to sit down and reflect. I love being there really late at night by myself and just enjoying the sense of peace that the holidays bring.
Yeah, there's something so cozy and warm about a well-decorated and even some of the, you know, not so well-decorated Christmas homes. It's still the fact that you know that love went into creating this environment. It just makes you feel warm and cozy and worthwhile, even if you're not the one leading the charge. So that's what decorating looks like for us. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the best light displays across Nashville if you're like me and you'd rather just admire someone else's work. So we'll be right back. All right, so you're listening to Nashville and Beyond. We're glad that you're here with us for our Holiday Lights Spectacular episode. We are talking about the part of Holiday Lights that I really enjoy, which is when someone else did all the work.
Yes, and so every year on the calendar, and it was on there probably in August, I plan our holiday light tours and all the things we do. We do it with your Mimi and Papaw, and we get in, you know, one vehicle and we just go see everything. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the lights around Nashville. One of the classic light places is Cheekwood, you know, and so it's still not too late as you're listening to this podcast because it's the week before Christmas now. You still have time to get out to Cheekwood and see those lights. It's magical. One of my favorite photos is of Micah and a little girl that he played with when he was like 1 year old, and it's them overlooking Cheekwood at Christmas. So you're going to see, if you go to Cheekwood, make sure, because it is, to me, the premier piece of holiday lights and Christmas lights in the Nashville area. And then, of course, Opryland Hotel.
Yeah, Opryland Hotel has got a great light display. You know, they put up thousands, if not millions, of lights on the property there. They have this like 100-foot-tall Christmas tree that's lit up. All of the trees that are live and real that exist on the property that grow year-round, when they lose their leaves, they go and they wrap. And this is one of my favorite ways that people do Christmas lights, is when you wrap not just the trunk of the tree, but then you go up and start to wrap the lights into the limbs of the tree, and it just makes it look so full. You know, they've got the ice skating experience there, but their lights are really beautiful. If you're driving down Briley Parkway, and you pass the mall, you can't miss it. I mean, it if you're sleeping, it's so bright it will wake you up in the car, because there's totally a ton of lights there. So the other one I would say, Zoolumination, which I've never been to. Have you been to Zoolumination at the Nashville Zoo?
The kids have.
Okay.
The kids have, and they absolutely love it. I have seen, I haven't been to the event, but I have been there when they've been on as they were getting ready, because we had a realtor event.
Okay, yeah.
So I've seen the basis of it. It's amazing what they do there. It's Illumination. So it's still, again, going on. A little bit cold for that, but hey, knock yourself out. I've never been to Franktown Festival of Lights, but a lot of people talk about that one. That's a drive-through setup that's been really good for families. The two that we've been through there, drive-through, one is called the Dancing Lights of Christmas. It used to be by the Opryland Hotel. You would go take the off of Briley Parkway, the Music Valley Drive exit, and then you go back to that KOA campground beside the Cock of the Walk, and you would drive through that campground and do Dancing Lights of Christmas. But what happened was traffic was so bad already for Opry Mills at that point to get in for Christmas, because if you're driving Briley Parkway around Christmas time, you've got the lights at the Opryland Hotel, the outside that people want to see with the nativity scenes and everything. Then you've got the indoor lights in the Delta and all the garden areas. Then you got the mall at Opry Mills where people are shopping and seeing the lights. Then you've got ice at Opryland Hotel. Then you've got the Radio City Music Spectacular with the Rockettes at the Grand Ole Opry House. Then you got Dancing Lights of Christmas over there.
Yeah.
So Briley Parkway would be backed up northbound, all the way back to I-40 by the airport, and then southbound all the way up 65 back into Rivergate. So Dancing Lights of Christmas was just adding undue traffic there. So they had to move Dancing Lights of Christmas out to the Wilson County Fairgrounds.
Okay.
So now it's huge. We do that every year. It's freezing cold. We always open the windows, and Esther and Micah sit in the
sunroof
while you're in the back just shivering and rolling your eyes, but you're secretly happy about it. And so we usually leave the Dancing Lights of Christmas over at the fairgrounds. Pro tip, get in line when it's still daylight, but do not get in the front of that line. You'll want to be about 70 cars back. That'll still get you in where you're not waiting too long. But if you go in immediately, it's not fully dark yet. So show up. I think they open at like 4. So get in line, you know, around that 4 o'clock hour, and you'll still be far enough back, but you're not going to have to wait hours to go to it. And then after that, we go to Chad's Winter Wonderland, which tell them about Chad's. You've been there, you know. You don't remember, you were asleep during it.
Okay, yeah, you have to.
So Chad's Winter Wonderland is literally a guy who started decorating his backyard in Lebanon, just down from the Dancing Lights of Christmas. And you pull up to his house. They have a kiosk that you pay your money, and you just go through his backyard. And it is truly the most wonderful, tacky thing you've ever seen in your life. They mix Jesus and Nativity with Frosty the Snowman. They'll be on the same Nativity scene. And there's advertisements throughout. The funny thing about it is there is a little detour exit you can go through on the farm that can take you through a hot chocolate window, and it always backs everybody up.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, my gosh. And so...
Yeah, the concession stand.
So Chad's is always... It's kitschy. It's something that if you live in this area, you've got to go see Chad's.
One of the other things that we've done is when we go down to Alabama, there's that house that we drive past And they have, I'm sure people have, you know, seen these on like YouTube and TikTok and social media, where they have a radio sign out in their yard and it says, tune your radio to this station. And you go and tune your radio to that station and they've got hundreds of lights that are all synced up to music and there's faces that are talking and people in the windows and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we've not seen the one that has the fireworks that go off in the background. But they've got lasers amazing. And all these kind of things that are amazing. Going on. And it's just incredible. So
in Nashville, there's some great neighborhoods to drive around for Christmas. Yeah. And it's not always about the lights, but sometimes it's about the hanging of the greens, the wreaths. So Bellmead Boulevard is absolutely a dream drive at Christmas to see. The lighting you're going to see there has been professionally placed. People are paying tens of thousands of dollars for their decorations each year just to be placed out on Bellmead Boulevard. So that would be my number one choice to go in Nashville to look. Number two would be Belmont Boulevard. Belmont Boulevard has some beautiful scenery with Christmas, especially with Belmont University being there and Christmas at Belmont. But you're going to see those big four-square homes along Belmont Boulevard, just some great. And then any of those ancillary roads that turn off of Belmont Boulevard, you're going to see beautiful lighting throughout. When we go into the burbs, Murfreesboro is known for its Christmas lights. So simply Google Murfreesboro Christmas lights and Hendersonville Christmas lights. And you're going to see big tours of where you can just get in your car and drive all these neighborhoods and see the lights. And most of these neighborhoods are cooperating together to create experiences. So if I'm going outside of the downtown area, outside the inner core of Nashville, I'm going to Murfreesboro and Hendersonville to see the lights. But of course, number one is going to be West End's, Bellmead Boulevard. Second is going to be Belmont Boulevard. And then third is going to be Fatherland Street in East Nashville because they morph from Halloween into Christmas. And they're still using those same kind of lights but changing them out. So East Nashville's got some really cool but quirky Christmas, where on the west side you're going to get more of the traditional classy Christmas.
Yeah.
Comes to the east side and you will get that organic, inspired by Tomato Arts Festival kind of Christmas.
Okay.
So those would be my choices. And then here we got to speak about our own area here off of Graycroft here in Nashville. There is a neighborhood who strings their lights all the way down the street and they'll cross the streets contiguously just off of Graycroft. So if you're coming up Madison, going to Randy Road in those areas, and you're going to see some great Christmas lights too.
Yeah. So. And then this time last year, we were actually on our way to, or getting close to being on our way to a cruise. We were taking a Christmas cruise this time last year, right? That was this time last year. And we were down in New Orleans and we walked beautiful. Past this shop in New Orleans that had just incredible Christmas decorations. It was maybe a hotel lobby or a mall lobby or something like that.
So gorgeous.
We walked in there. It was beautiful. New Orleans at night, the Christmas decorations they have are really beautiful. You know, when I was in Hawaii, 2 years I celebrated Christmas in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
And it's really unique there because obviously the temperature stays between about 75 and 85 degrees year round. And so you don't get that that cold Christmas wintry feel. But the lighting and the decorations that they have in Hawaii are really funny because you have like naked Santa on a surfboard lit up. And the palm trees are all lit up and stringed up with lights. So those are pretty cool.
So we've talked about all the lights. Let's talk about what it takes to put them up and what creates the perfect displays. Because people don't necessarily see the work that goes behind it. It's funny when we drive by Opryland Hotel, it just seems like it magically happens. Mm-hmm. But there's so much work that goes on behind there. So for me, the joys I have Emily to help.
Yeah.
She's the one who takes a lot of the stuff down at the end of the season. Because I hate taking it down. Greg is real big about, you know, you shouldn't take down Christmas decorations until Christmas is truly over. Mm-hmm. And Christmas isn't over until into January mm-hmm. in his faith-based timeline. But I want Christmas down like
January 1st.
I want it down on December 27th.
Okay.
I want it down. But there's a planning process for that because when you walk into our house, you say, Alexa, Merry Christmas. And everything comes on for Christmas. So I've got everything wired in. I've got all these smart plugs. I want it to all just work. I don't mm-hmm. want to have to go through and unplug everything. So there's a lot of planning that goes into that, a lot of labeling. This year we have three very tall, skinny evergreens right as you go through our front door with the nutcracker. And those lights went out this year and they were pre-lit. So yesterday, Emily had to clip all those off and relight those trees. So
God bless you, Emily.
Yes. So it takes, there's a lot of repairs that have to happen and a lot of patience required. What keeps me motivated to do this, however, is that it matters to the kids. We host Christmas every year with my family, with mom and dad, my brother and sister-in-law, my nieces and nephew at our house. And we bring out, you know, we'll talk about that in our Christmas episode, what we do there. But having the house decorated matters for me there. Yeah. And honestly, some of it's about changing your attitude about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of those people that I believe that as long as I keep on trying, that you will have a fresh piece on it. Because I remember some of the stories we talked about family and some of the trauma of family. You know, you had trauma around going to places that had rides and amusement fairs, parks to it. Yet now you love amusement parks. Yeah. And I do believe that through this process that I'm going to make you love decorating. And I did hint this year and you said no, because I have this amazing silver tree that has pink and blue and all these crazy, wonderful ceramics. It's the story I was telling about the lady. And I was going to set it up for you. And I asked, I said, would you be interested in decorating? And you took it as, I'll have to decorate, so no. But I was going to bring it over and set it up there. But, you know, rent that whole thing. But because the cats will jump on it
they
too.
Will.
And I don't want them to break my ornaments.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, I have to be very careful because I have two cats, Cosmo and Lily. Shout out if y'all are listening. Meow, meow. You know, the work for me growing up, we talked about it already. I didn't like it. It was not, you know, the greatest experience for me. And, you know, it made me less eager to decorate now, but I'm definitely more appreciative of those who do. You know, there's the freezing fingers that you deal with in December when you're standing out in the cold and you're stringing lights up around columns in your front porch forever and ever. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. And I do agree that I think at some point I will fall in love with Christmas decorating. I think when that happens for me will probably be when I have a romantic partner, because there'll be someone in my home that I can share it with. And so I think maybe that's what my spirit, my Christmas spirit is waiting on is that special someone. So,
well, I was hoping after my little comment that it would come back after this break, that you would have a change of mind during this break, but that's not going to happen. So we're going to take the break anyway. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. We've covered how. Now let's talk about the heart of it all and why lighting matters at this time of the year.
Okay.
You know, last week we had our faith episode, and so it really segues nicely into the idea of this, because for me, lights symbolize for me warmth and hope. When we think about for those who celebrate Christmas specifically and the origins behind Christmas, we think about the Star of Bethlehem. And we think about
beautiful star.
One of my favorite Christmas songs that my dad does so greatly. And I think about that that light. For me, when I do any kind of graphic design around Christmas, it's always light and candle oriented. I just love, and you know, you call me a vampire because I want everything dark all the time, but Christmas gives me a legitimate reason to have that darkness and find that light in it.
Yeah. You know, for me, I do love, I'm a big lighting person, even outside of Christmas. I really appreciate a well-lit space. And when there's just, you know, overhead fluorescent lights in a space, it doesn't tend to bring out the best in people's appearance or emotions. And so for me in my home, I've got lighting across all different levels. In the physical level, there's low lighting on the floor and there's mid lighting on tables and there's high table floor lamps and et cetera, et cetera. So for me, I see those lights as another tasteful way to bring in some more light and some interesting texture and shape and colors. And even I think my favorite thing about Christmas lighting is the shadows that it casts onto walls.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can get some really interesting patterns that pop up when light has to go through a tree and through garland and through the glass ornaments, and it changes colors and it gives all this interesting kind of flavor to a space that it didn't have before. So,
well, I think light is also something that every faith can agree on, and every person who's perhaps not in faith who does, you know, Festivus, because I remember designing something for, and again, I wasn't as I didn't know enough about faith traditions and non-Christian faith holiday traditions. And they asked me to design something and I did it in red and green. And the person brought it back and said, hey, this really just reads more Christmas. I said, well, isn't it Christmas? They're like, well, no, there's other faiths that are around. And so I brought it back and it was another thing. But light was something everyone could agree on. Mm-hmm. And when we think about candles, when we think about stars, when we think about those pieces, it's something that brings all cultures together. It's something that brings all communities together. When we think about happiness and sadness, candlelight is the thing that that is the that tying bond. I won actually a video competition. The National Association of Realtors did one way before I was involved, and they were doing a Christmas lighting, a Christmas video contest. And the only reason I did is because it was actually given really good money for the contest. Mm-hmm. It was sponsored with Realtor.com. And I used a song written by my friend Wayne Hahn and Joel Lindsay called Light a Candle. And it was a very neutral song. And when I watched all the other contest entries, they all leaned toward one thing. And it was all about, you know, one faith. But in my mind, I just talked about lighting candles. And I used that song, and I talked about no matter what's your faith journey for this time of the season, that we'll light a candle for you. And it won. And I want to say it was like $5,000 I got for that.
That's awesome.
It was crazy.
That's awesome.
So for me, you know,
I want to see that.
I'll find it for you. It's really horrible now because the quality's horrible, but back then it was really good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this is one of the few times of the year that I think most people can smile about. Obviously people go through different things and seasonal depression is real. And I get that. Yeah. And, you know, there's some people who lose loved ones around this time of year, so maybe it's harder for them. But the joy and the beauty of the light and the warmth is that it just gives you a reason to smile and to be thankful. So, you know, we can't end a holiday episode without a little fun. So let's finish things off with a few Nashville Rathers holiday lights edition.
Great. I will start it. Color lights or white lights?
Color for me all the way. Absolutely color.
Why?
Because I think white lights are just boring.
I love white lights.
Yeah, I think they're just boring. There's something about the I've already got, you know, white or yellow bulbs in my home all year round anyways. If I'm going to add that much more joy to the Christmas time, why not make it colorful? So for you, would you rather do a drive-through light show or a walk-through light garden?
Honey, keep me in the car. I want my heat. Lord, no. I love this drive-through stuff now.
Yeah.
To walk through, and I can skip that. Now, if it's warmer, but you're not guaranteed that. Like, we went to Dollywood for the Christmas displays, mm-hmm. and froze my butt off. I wore my Cotopaxi overalls and jacket, and I still was cold, but I rode roller coasters too. But
yeah.
I don't, I will walk through Dollywood, but put my tail in a car. Real tree or artificial tree?
Gosh, you know, I think I would prefer a real tree just because I love the smell of real tree. And while I know it would be a lot more maintenance and there's a lot more fire hazard issues involved with it, I love the smell of the real. Maybe I should just get an artificial tree and a candle. That's probably safer for me, to be honest. Yeah. For you, would you rather have indoor coziness or outdoor sparkle?
Oh gosh, I love both of them. But driving up to the house is only for a few minutes. And at that time of the year, I'm not going to be outside doing a lot of things. So it has to be indoor coziness, lots of blankets, lots of lights. I love having the smell of cookies baking. So absolutely indoor coziness.
Cookies.
Fence, garland, or porch wreaths?
You know, I think I would rather do the porch wreath because it's just one simple thing that you put up and you're done, as opposed to the fence garland that has to be wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped all the way down the fence line. If that's the kind of garland that you use for that. That's not the kind of garland that we used. Ours was just kind of tacked on and laid down in long strips. But, you know, the wreath, because it's just easier. And, it's, and, you know, one time you do it and then you leave it up all season and it's good to go. So that's all we have time for today, y'all. However you celebrate, whether your house glows from the space or you've got one simple strand across the porch, we hope you find a little bit of light this season. Thanks for listening to Nashville and Beyond. We appreciate all of the support that we've had so far this season. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for continuing to give us 5 stars and reaching out and giving us comments. We really appreciate it. We can't wait to see you next week on the Christmas episode where we talk all things Christmas.
Yay.
So we'll see y'all. Send us pictures of your Christmas lights too. We'd love to see those. We'll see you next time on Nashville and Beyond. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal, financial, or real estate advice. Listeners should always consult licensed professionals for guidance specific to their situation. Brian and Zach Copeland are licensed real estate agents with Compass 615-522-5100. Kevin Kinnerson, MLS number 171733 with Lindingham Mortgage, is the executive producer. Engineer Mike Reeves. Music Dusty Boots by EcoLeaks. Nashville and Beyond. Copyright 2025.